So if y'all please welcome my darling husband, Ben.
Morning, everybody. Let me, first of all, give you a little history about the rules versus principles. We are going to talk about that a bit, kind of how that came along. Kelly asked me the first year to speak about rules versus principles and talk about some of the things I saw as the differences between the two. A lot of times, you know, we find that we have to tell kids, you can't be out this late, you can't do this, you can't do that. And the way that the unschooling philosophy is for me is that doesn't make a lot of sense to do that. I think we have to give them the freedom that they deserve and let them make those decisions about what their rules are. Because the way that we were brought up may have been different, and we're imposing what we think the children should be doing. So that's kind of where it came from. Kelly and I actually try to live by two principles in the house, and that's the golden rule. I think everyone knows that. Basically, treat each other with respect, and you're going to get that back as model behavior. And the other thing is freedom. We give a lot of freedom to the boys, whether it's curfews or it's anything. They know when they need to be in. They know when they need to eat. They know when they need to wake up and that sort of thing. We didn't need to do that. What I've done with the speech is a little different. I think last year and the year before, what I did is I told some stories, and then I actually talked about specific rules and how principles may apply, or maybe principles that if you eat this, if you eat too much, you'll get fat. Or maybe talk about, that would be the rule. Maybe talk about, let's talk about healthy eating. Are you interested in talking about that? Maybe that's more the principle. But again, I'm weaving some stories in and out. I will tell you this, I am a lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force. A lot of people are like, well, why are you doing this? You have a set parameter that you go by, you live by those parameters. But the difference is everybody that I work with goes by the same rules. So I'm just asked to enforce those rules, but I'm not asked to enforce those rules in my house. I'm not saying that I don't enforce rules, but at the same time, I try to get away from that and let the children do, pretty much what they want to do. So, with that lead-in, I read Rolling Stone magazine, and I have for some time now. I don't know whether it's for the love of the musical commentary, the peerless movie reviews and critiques, or the eccentricity and brutal honesty from the magazine's writers. Maybe it's the pictures on the covers, like the one with Jim Morrison shortly after his death, or the one that had John Lennon in a partial fetal position side by side with a fully clothed Yoko Ono, which I think all of us have seen in some other format, maybe not on the magazine itself. Maybe it's the balance that it offers me in my life, or it just makes me think about the perspectives offered in the magazine itself. Regardless, I've extended the subscription until 2011, but from what I've seen lately, my sons are probably going to extend that subscription even further. For those of you who don't know, we do live in a two-story house in South Carolina, and our oldest son, Cameron, whom you've all met and hopefully had an opportunity to hug, he lives at the top of the stairs. And straight ahead, about three steps on the top, on the second floor. His room is a shrine of music. His room is a shrine of sorts to music. He has walls blanketed with posters of such music luminaries as Jimi Hendrix, Bob Marley, and Jerry Garcia. He has a sofa covered with an embroidered afghan with the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's, Lonely Hearts Club Band on it. And he has a milk crate that supports a receiver and a turntable. And for those of us who grew up with that, that in itself is a big appreciation that he's showing, obviously, for things in the past. The receiver and the turntable are there to play the albums from such artists as the Allman Brothers, Simon and Garfunkel, The Pretenders, and Donovan. This is just a sampling of the music that he has. And his room is actually where my Rolling Stones end up right now. I've never asked him why he has them up there. I guess that it brings him some kind of a balance too, and that's good enough for me because I understand what that means. I think that in years to come, though, his younger brother Duncan will be the will have the final resting place for these magazines. But for right now, Duncan is not looking at him, but I think that'll change in time. I think the reason that Cameron and his younger brother are interested in these things is because they use two basic principles of unschooling, connections and freedom, to sustain them in their learning. Like me, Cameron reads Rolling Stone for his own reasons, and I trust that he's finding what he needs from these readings. Like his music, we don't place restrictions on what he reads. Magazines like books are made up of words and pictures, and inherently neither is harmful to anyone, especially the children when they're trying to learn. Without question, the centerpiece of Cameron's room is the wall that faces his bed. This wall it was entirely painted black, except for the letters CKY prominently displayed in red and yellow, opposing the darkness of the rest of the wall. Cameron actually painted this about 3 years ago when he found his original musical muse and started a series of steps which charted his odyssey to date. A little bit about the band CKY. In case you don't know, it stands for Camp Kill Yourself. The band had an album cover of their guitarist hanging himself while playing his instrument, which was very interesting to say the least. The band was also associated with Johnny Knoxville, who is the guy in charge of the TV show Jackass. On the surface, maybe not something that you would touch closer.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. On the surface, maybe not the best example of a band. Is that better? Okay. One would want for a 14-year-old to be involved with. But here's what we had in this particular situation. We had a creative young teenager living with us, trying to learn about himself with all those raging hormones and just being out of school. He's got tons of freedom, but what's interesting is how he handled himself in the situation. He understood the name and album cover were for shock value, and like the Jackass show, shock was a way to sell. But what Cameron understood also is that it was important to be more than just a part-time fan. So what he did for over a year and a half was read the band's website daily. And it took him about 6 months before he even started posting. And he does the posting, he still does some of that posting now. He road tripped to several concerts, driving as far as Philadelphia to see the band. He has pictures of the band, of him with the band, and also the band playing in various venues. He talked with them after one of their concerts and stayed in touch with them via the webpage, as I said. He's bought bumper stickers, posters, t-shirts, and other stuff with the CKY label. And even to this day, he's interested in the band and picked up their recent album over the summer. Most of this stuff might be what any teenager would do, but what made it different was that he was right in the middle of his de-schooling. He was trying to deprogram, get away from the school mentality. And he was trying to get his arms around the whole unschooling lifestyle. He seemed to be getting it during the time. He learned about the band and what really made them tick. And he threw himself into this with all the passion and intensity that he felt at the time. And he did so with the knowledge of our support for him. We didn't limit him in anything that he did. And the road tripping that he did, obviously, at 14 was not on his own. We had to take him up to Philadelphia ourselves. But we were willing to do that because it was the thing that was getting him the most interested in what was going on as far as unschooling and his passions at the time. One principle here was the freedom, as I said before, his freedom to explore, to read, to listen, to feel, and soak up all that he could about what he was interested in. But like any principle, it's never a one-way street. We all are free to express how we feel about something in our house, but even when it differs from something that somebody else feels about that. And mostly the difference is just in talking those things through and learning more about why people are interested in a certain passion or a certain point of view. For Cameron, C.K. Wilde is an excellent introduction into music and a great example for us to fall headlong into unschooling. Without this freedom, Cameron had, he would not have come forward as quickly and passionately as he has, and his musical journey has now included an exploration of history, especially the 60s and early 70s. He's been driving thousands of highway miles up and down the East Coast to attend concerts and various other things. But that's also extended into skateboarding, filmmaking, and reinventing a wardrobe, which he had at one time. He was in all black for about 6 months with a goth look, and now to the retro heavy look with all the sarongs and things that go along with that. He's also taught himself to play the drums, and I guess you've heard him up here with a little bit more about that. He's done so without any, he's had a couple of lessons, but for the most part it's just by listening and putting the beats together. He's also experienced that through, as Kelly said yesterday, about 6 hours every day, ever since he got the drums about 2.5 years ago. He also is involved with a band. He's a 17-year-old who started the band. They're guys who are 20 years old, as Kelly said, 20 years or older, who are in the band. They're actually looking for an opportunity to tour South Carolina as soon as they possibly can. The band not only likes to play rock and roll, but the blues, rhythm and blues, and jazz. And he's also been asked to sit in regularly to play with some in-town jazz artists who frequent a local bar on Thursday nights. He and his band, as I said, are looking for an opportunity to tour in South Carolina, and they've recorded several songs on the CD. And his list of connections to music continue to go on, and I suspect they will for a long time. And those connections were because of a little bit of freedom and some paint that he was able to use for a wall that he wanted to put his CK Wilde to about 3.5 years ago. Now, if you go out of Cameron's room and walk down the hall about 7 steps, and you leave the music of Led Zeppelin behind, you'll go into Duncan's room. And Duncan's room is a little bit different. I anticipate this is probably going to be the place where the Rolling Stone magazines end up. But like I said, that's probably going to have to be his decision. But for now, Duncan has a bookshelf that's populated with interests of a different sort. His walls are dominated by a popular culture of a different medium. Hand-painted blue eyes, ultimate dragon, dark magician and dark magician girl, Karibo and Yu-Gi-Oh! Right now are the things that blanket his bright blue walls. Atop his chest of drawers are his gaming systems, because Duncan is a gamer. He has disc and TV sets there as well. Duncan is our 9-year-old gamer, as I said, and he consistently challenges himself to reach the highest levels of his games, and he frequently does that. The games are more than just a challenge, though. They're also they also offer art in a different format. They're state-of-the-art art itself. They're state-of-the-art graphics. But one of the things that we've noticed from every CD that we've gotten from his games is they all have music. And Duncan, this is his way or his introduction to music so far. Duncan has noticed this and is interested in music, has therefore started a little differently than Cameron's. His started earlier and is much more of a soundbite thing than a full-length feature like Cameron's has become. His is based upon exposure from quick-hitting mediums like his games, television commercials or TV shows and radio. And I think the longer exposure, and this is probably true for all of us, his longer exposure comes from long rides in his parents' car and being subjected to their CD collection instead of his own. We've tried to change that, I promise we are. We have SpongeBob SquarePants, and we're trying to do a better job of that. As of late, Joe Duncan has been dictating his own sound, along with several versions of Kidz Bop and several Disney CDs that we got just this past year. Duncan has a CD for the Birds, the Monkees, Harry Chapin, and most recently from Green Day. Let me, I guess, sidetrack here a little bit, talk about SpongeBob SquarePants. We actually went to the movie together to see this, and of course there was music throughout and everything, and we were sitting there, and I subject my family to watching the credits at the end of the movie. It's just something that I've always done. And Duncan, when the movie's over, he wants to get up and he wants to get out of there as quickly as he can. But I told him if we sat to watch the credits, we'd find out, you know, who were the artists who did the music. And so he actually said that he would sit down and wait for this. And as we went through, we saw some of the names of the artists and everything, and he started singing some of the songs. Well, as we were walking out, we were talking about the songs that he'd heard and everything, and I said, well, why don't we go by and see if the CD's ready, and see if by any chance they released it at the same time. And sure enough, the place where we went to, they had released the CD. Of course, I had to get something too, because if we're going to walk into a music store, I had to get something for me and for everybody else, and I happened to get the U2 CD. And normally what I would do, or what I'd done before unschooling in a lot of ways, and I'd probably still do it, but not as much, I'm a little bit more attentive to this, is I would normally put the CD of mine in there, and we'd listen to it all the way home, and then we got home, we'd listen, to Duncan's, or he would listen to it himself. He actually listened to his CD first, and that's a big step for me. But it also showed respect to him, so that when it was time for me to be able to play my CD, he was also on board with that. What was interesting about this for Duncan, especially with the U2 CD, I guess it was probably about 3 or 4 days later, we were riding down the road, and I put in mine because he had left the SpongeBob SquarePants in his room. And I plugged in the CD, and the first song on the CD is called Vertigo. And I did not know, but Duncan had actually heard Vertigo probably about for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And so when it was over, Duncan said, can we play that again? I said, sure. So we reversed it, played it again. He said, can we play that again? I said, sure. So we reversed it. Can we play that again? So I looked back at him, and I started thinking that is a pattern that he does because of his games. He's trying to figure things out, and that was his way of trying to figure out the music. Well, the end of the story is that after a series of time with Duncan, and we went to a musical festival with Duncan's cousin, we ended up talking about going to see U2, and we actually are going to go see, for his first concert, we're going to see U2 in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I can imagine the joy that I'm going to have, because Cameron and I actually saw them in Charlotte before, and now both of the boys are going to be there, and we're going to be fairly crazy and very having a great time together. So it was a great story for me, especially to see that reciprocation from Duncan, because I've given him the respect with his music, and I felt in some way he paid that back by that particular example. Music has woven an unmistakable tapestry through my life and has made an indelible impact. I remember hearing it at a very early age, and I also have documentation in a baby book that my mother kept for me that identifies me singing part of a Beatles song before I even said mom or dad. So I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but I do have documentation of that. To me, music is more than just a passion. It's a way for us to connect. It has connected me to millions of other people across numerous time zones over every continent on Earth. If I listen to the Beatles, I hear influences from the North American and European continents in their early work. I hear Eastern influences mixed with African beats during their second act, and the symphonies of some of the greatest conductors in history in their final act. If I move forward to U2 in the late 70s, I find the beginnings of the most spiritual band in the modern era, with influences from the Beatles, the Clash, and numerous others who have come before them. Now, however, I'm influenced through the music of my sons, who return the favor and cement the connection to listening to music that I heard at their respective ages. Today I hear new things through my sons that repetitive listening of the same music over decades could have never produced. Watching Cameron John or seeing Duncan's recognition grow as he connects names to lyrics, to songs, to bands, and back to Beer Cameron or Cameron's mom, or Cameron Duncan's mom, my wife Kelly. You'll have those have had as much of an impact on me as listening to those songs when I did as I was growing up. I hear my own favorite music with new and more urgent ears, and hear harmonies where I once did not. Uncover direct references to other songs when I once couldn't, and rediscover the little boy that I once was. I see that boy again with the help of my sons, and I'm glad to share him with them. Music is also a direct conduit for those in your present to help understand your past. I know that Cameron asked a lot of questions about what we remember about the 60s, and fortunately I was not in a drug-induced haze at that time because I was only born in 1962, so I was still okay through that time. But I do remember a lot of things about that time, and I'm able to talk to him about that, as is Kelly. Music helps you to share parts of yourself that you may have forgotten or left those parts behind, and it helps you walk back into places where you once lived and bring those places forward to those you now live with. Music is better as a shared experience, in my opinion, and it's a path I hope to never leave. I look forward to the day when I visit my grandchildren and a song that I shared with their fathers or that their fathers shared with me plays on the latest radio, satellite radio station. I can only imagine the smile on my son's faces or the twinkling in my eyes when I watch how those grandchildren react to the music. And if the song we hear happens to be A Hard Day's Night, which was a song that I learned before I said Mom or Dad, and my grandchild points out that the band singing is the Beatles, I'll be back to a point when I started a similar journey with their dads. The difference is that I'll have two musical champions and their dads who will help me connect them or their children with me. And together we'll continue to weave our respective musical tapestries while watching one develop in the minds, hearts, and spirits of those who have yet to follow. One of the things that I wanted to say as well is that it's kind of a PS to this. You know, we've all gone through different things through the journey of unschooling, and as a speaker, we get this pretty much pick and choose what we say. So the stories that we talk about, I'm sure, are true. These things have happened. But there have been other examples as well where I may not have been as kind, I may have been cruel or sarcastic, and maybe not as nice as I should be along the way. And those are some of the things that, you know, as you're starting out and you're new, those things are going to happen. But I think Kelly, what Kelly says to me is, you know, they're learning takes. Instead of calling mistakes, they're called learning takes. And I've had a lot of learning takes, but hopefully I've had fewer and fewer, you know, as we've gone through this experience together. Like everyone else, as I said, I've made many mistakes on this, but each day I try to become a better father with them and a better husband for Kelly, and hopefully a better human being. I'm trying to do that by running around my arm shirt and make sure the conference is going well. But I don't want to go back to the person I was. I think that unschooling has changed our whole family for the best. And I look forward to the day when my boys have their kids, and that they, in fact, bring that into their lives as well. Thanks.